thank you all for joining us. I'm very honored to have Governor Chris Christie with us today. We had Arne Duncan as the keynote speaker this morning, and I thought he did an excellent job of really, you know, telling it like it is, laying it out, and really pointing out that we in Iowa have been complacent too long, and I think the facts kind of speak for themselves, but there's a lot of interest in revitalizing education in Iowa and restoring our leadership and getting us back into a position of competitiveness. And I'm very appreciative that my good friend Chris Christie has come from New Jersey, and he is one that tells it like it is. And I think he gave a very sobering, but I think a very factual, effective message about the need for reform in his state, in our state. He mentioned Rahm Emanuel. You may know that Illinois just passed, on a bipartisan basis, major reform of education, changing teacher evaluations and doing a lot of the things we're talking about here. And that was done on a bipartisan basis in Illinois with strong support from Democrats and Republicans, and certainly the Secretary of Education coming from Chicago and Rahm Emanuel playing a role in that. And we're hopeful that in the end we can do something very similar here in the state of Iowa as well, but something that is tailored to meet what our needs are in Iowa. It is a privilege and an honor to have a very dear friend who really inspired a lot of us that ran in 2010 to run, because we saw what he did in 2009 in a very tough state, and have been very proud to see the way he's, without raising taxes, gotten the finance picture in New Jersey going in the right direction and doing some very great things. And I'm real proud to introduce my good friend, Governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie.
I want to thank Governor Branstad for inviting me here today. We're thrilled to be here. As I said in the talk I just gave, you know, these issues are not Republican or Democratic issues. And you know, Governor Branstad just mentioning not only Mayor Emanuel's key role in getting that Illinois school education reform passed, but also Secretary Duncan's remarks this morning, which I was able to read on the plane on the way out, tell you, along with President Obama's commitment to education reform, to real education reform, tells you that, you know, if you can get conservative Republicans like me and Terry Branstad on the same page with President Obama and his former chief of staff, who's now the mayor of Chicago, this is an issue whose time has come. And so I decided to come out here, one, because I have such respect for Governor Branstad and what he's doing, and the fact that he's willing to confront these issues head on because he cares so deeply about the future of Iowa's children. So when he called and invited me, I was happy to say yes and to come out here and do it. And also because I think that the only way we're going to get this done is to create a national groundswell among folks both of privilege and folks who are not as privileged, but who all share exactly the same dream, which is for their children to have every opportunity that America can offer to it. And the only way to do that is through an excellent education. It is the only way to do that. That's even more true today than it was when I went to school or when Governor Branstad went to school. Opportunity now is even more requiring an excellent education and an excellent higher education. The only way to get there is to get an excellent education from K to 12, a great sound foundation that allows you to move on to higher education and do great things. And so that's why in New Jersey, as I said before, we spent last year $25 billion on K to 12 education, more than any state in America per pupil. And we added an $850 million more this year. Now that's about making choices. You know, as Governor said, you know, we choose not to raise taxes. We have to cut spending in other programs to afford to increase education spending by $850 million. But I'm going to choose the side of families and children in our state over the side of some of the special interests who are clamoring over some of the budget cuts we've made. But governing's about choosing, and Governor Branstad has been doing that now into his fifth term. He knows what that's all about, and when somebody like that invites me out here, I'm happy to come. So I thank him for his invitation. I thank him for putting this summit together. I think it's very important to have someone of his stature stepping forward on this issue once again and making it a national issue That combined with the efforts of other governors and the president, I hope will bring about the kind of change that will make American education the best in the world again, because right now we're not. And there's plenty of evidence that we're not. And so we need to get better. And I thank Governor Branstad for the invitation.
Governor,
yeah, well, I hear they're dropping it now because we had no documents of communication between myself and Roger Ailes. The only document we had was an entry in my calendar about a dinner that I went to at Mr. Ailes' home, which everybody already knew about, which Mr. Ailes had confirmed on the record. We've provided that calendar entry to the media organization that asked for it and told them there are no other documents between me and Mr. Ailes at all. And so my understanding is now from my staff that they've been contacted and that they've been told that the suit's going to be dropped.
Governor Branstad, yeah. You told a lot of people, and a lot of people said this is the beginning of
right.
change. What's your plan moving forward, actually implementing?
Well, we're getting a lot of input, you know, and this has been a great day, and I've been here, and I've tried to go to as many of the we're going to get a full report on everything and all the panel discussions and everything. But I just think I want to give Linda Fennell and also Jason Glass credit because they've been working for months to put this together. And the Lieutenant Governor and I did three roundtables with business leaders, with people in higher education, with teachers, and then we've done seven town hall meetings. After we get the opportunity to analyze and review all the input and the ideas that come out of this, we're then going to put together a preliminary group of recommendations. And then we're going to go out around the state, and we're going to also do a whole lot more town halls and get more feedback and say, this is our synopsis, or this is our idea of how we can build a consensus for reform and improving education. And I think the facts are pretty sobering. We've always been proud of our education in Iowa. And you know, in 1992, we were the leader. We were number one on the NAEP test. Now we're 2009, middle of the pack. That's not acceptable. Iowans want us to do better. And we've got to come up with something that fits the needs of Iowa. But we're looking at the experience of other states and other countries where they've made big progress in education. And we want to try to bring all those ideas together and come up with a plan that meets the needs of Iowa. And I'm hopeful by the time the legislature convenes in January of 2012, we're ready to go and we have a plan that can have bipartisan support and we can do something very significant here.
Governor Christie, you said you're not here to throw down a gauntlet, sort of known as a gauntlet thrower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, listen, there are certain principles. I think what I said was, I'm not here to throw down the gauntlet and say it's got to be my way alone. But I will certainly stand for certain principles that, you know, excellence should be rewarded and there should be consequences for failure. That tenure should be earned regularly, not just once. That we have to have excellent teachers at the front of every classroom and that they need to be compensated for their excellence. Now, there's all kinds
of. By the way, that's a message I think you've heard from a lot of speakers here today. So that's pretty consistent with what Arne Duncan said and what many of the other presenters have said. So I guess I would say those themes are pretty, yeah. I think, pretty consistent with what we heard from a lot of presenters today.
And that's what I said inside was that it seems to me that everyone has a common interest in those things being achieved. Now let's figure out how we can give confidence to both sides in a system that will move towards achieving that. And you're right, I do have a reputation for throwing down the gauntlet, but if you look at what we've achieved in New Jersey, everything that we've achieved so far has been the product of compromise. You know, whether it's my first budget, which was a bipartisan budget, that closed an $11 billion budget gap without tax increases, a 2% cap on our property tax increases, bipartisan bill, changing our interest arbitration system, bipartisan bill, and now pension and benefit reform that we just did this past spring It's going to save $132 billion over the next 30 years for the taxpayers and preserve pensions for every one of the 800,000 pensioners in New Jersey. All were done with Republican and Democratic votes. And so I think you do. I think the premise of your question is one I agree with. You have to draw some lines in the sand to say this is where I won't move, but you also have to leave yourself room for compromise. And everything that I've done in New Jersey, we've achieved things because we've had Republican and Democratic support. And what I'm suggesting in my remarks today is that this issue should be no different, even though on this issue there's some pretty high emotions. Listen, I got to know Congressman King back in 2009. I find him to be a principled conservative, and I'm happy to be out here to help support his reelection campaign. And, you know, I'm sure that when Steve and I talk, we won't agree on every issue, but I do believe that he's a man of principle and conviction and is in public service for the right reasons. And so when I was going to be out here for Governor Branstad's Education Summit, and he asked if I might be willing to help raise some money for him while I'm out here. I had a couple of hours before I had to get back on the plane, so I told him I'd be happy to.
Has Governor Branstad encouraged you to run for president?
No.
Have you gotten any sense during your short trip here that the Iowa people still want you?
Listen, I've been encouraged by a lot of folks from around the country to reconsider my position on running for president or not, and it's always candidly overwhelming to me to have people do that. But I don't think there's been anything in particular that's happened since I landed here about an hour and a half ago that's happened. And certainly Governor Branstad's never said anything like that to me.
Then why don't you endorse somebody else for president?
If I believe that someone has distinguished themselves in a way on the issues that I care about, that I feel enthusiastic enough to endorse them, I will. Now, as was alluded to in one of the earlier questions, I'm not a halfway kind of guy. So if I'm going to get in and support someone, I'm going to do it 100%. And to get there, I have to feel that way about one of the people offering themselves for president. And so if that moment comes, I certainly won't keep it a secret, but I certainly am under no legal obligation to endorse anybody. I know that I'll be supporting whoever our party's nominee is. Whether I choose to support anybody prior to that time is dependent upon how they perform. And
because you're not feeling that special feeling for any of the candidates
yet. Yeah, I think it's fair to say that, sure. I mean, if I felt it right now, I'd endorse somebody. I don't. Now, campaigns matter, though. Let me say this. Campaigns matter. And you get to judge someone based upon how they campaign for president, how they deal with the rigors of that task, how they articulate their views under pressure and under the spotlight of that type of endeavor. And lots of people have risen to the challenge over time. You know, think about how many people were, referred to as part of the seven or eight dwarfs over time who eventually wound up becoming president of the United States. Campaigns matter. And so I'm going to watch it very closely. I've met with a number of the people who have offered themselves as candidates for president. I know a number of them personally. And, if the time comes and I can feel really enthusiastic about someone, I'll do it. And if it doesn't, I'll wait to see who our party chooses. And I'm sure that whoever our party chooses of the current crop of candidates, that that's someone that I would be voting for over the current occupant of the White House. Ginger? Oh, no, listen, here's what I understand about politics. 2 months is a long time, let alone 5 years. And so I'm not out here to lay any groundwork at all about any kind of future aspirations. I'm here to join a kindred spirit in an important cause. And it's really no more than that. And Governor Branstad is someone who cares deeply about this issue. He called and asked me personally if I would be willing to come and lend my voice to his efforts here in Iowa. And I was more than happy to do it because he and I agree on this stuff. So that's why I'm here. 2016 is a long, long way away and not something that's in the forefront of my mind at the moment. Listen, I've gone through this a whole bunch of times, but since your face is new to me, I'll do it one more time. You know, you have to feel in your heart that this is the moment for you to do this. And I often say, I had a group of people who were encouraging me last week to run for president in New York City. And one of the things I said to them was, you know, this is a personal decision, because when I'm in that hotel room in Des Moines and it's 15 below and the alarm clock goes off at 4 o'clock in the morning, none of you are going to be there with me. You know, and so no matter what encouragement others may give you, whether they're financial people or political people, in the end, it's something that you've got to believe in your heart is necessary for you to do right now with your life. And as I've said before, I don't feel that at the moment. And so, you know, it's also a family decision as well. You know, and my wife's here with me today. Two of my four children are here. And so I know what kind of impact that would have on their lives as well. So I better be able to look them in the eye and say, I need to do this before you jump in and do it. Because if you want their support, you better tell them it's an absolute necessity. So that's how I feel. I can't imagine that changing. You know, we're pretty late in the game here. So I can't imagine that changing. So I've got a job to do in New Jersey, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I work real hard every day at it. And part of being out here is to help move that ball down the field in New Jersey. Because I think the more we make this an issue of national importance of education reform, the greater chance there is that the successes you're seeing in Colorado and Indiana and Illinois, and that I'm sure you're going to see here in Iowa, hopefully will spread to places like New Jersey, so that we can offer folks an opportunity for a greater education, which will lead to them having greater opportunities as Americans going forward. In the end, I always try to do what my heart I believe is right. I learned that from folks like Chuck Larson, who's here, who I served with as a United States attorney. And Chuck was one of those guys who was a sterling example, especially to us younger folks who were U.S. attorneys at the time, about commitment to causes greater than your own personal interest. You know, Chuck went off to Iraq and served at this stage of his life, because he believed that that's what he needed to do to help to serve our country. And he's an extraordinary inspiration for me to always follow what your heart tells you is the right thing to do and what you feel like your duty to your country is. And Chuck's always been that kind of guy and an example for me. So it's another good excuse for me to come to Iowa, because I get to see Chuck Larson, who I don't see nearly as much as I used to when we both served in the Department of Justice. So I appreciate, again, Governor Branstad's willingness to invite me out here and to give me a forum to talk about some of the things that I feel strongly about. And I know he knows this, that he will always have in me a strong friend and ally for the things that we know are important to make our states a better place and to make our country a better place. And anytime he invites me out to Iowa, I'd be happy to come. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you very much.